Here he comes! Minister!
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 How are you? Minister, answer, how's your wife?
Answer the question, Minister!
Counterclockwise, thanks to scoop.co.nz.
All right, it's time for Counterclockwise and the redoubtable Selwyn Manning. Are you there, Selwyn?
Yeah, hi, John. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Lovely stuff. Now, we're going to be looking at, again, continuing the theme of the show today by looking at the Pacific Nations Forum. What's on your mind?
Well, I think it's just a retouch on some of the main issues that are coming through and some of the main themes that we can identify in there. It's almost a parallel universe in a sense, John, I think. What we're seeing is civil society, NGOs, and many of the smaller Pacific Island states advancing those big issues that concern most people, and like climate change, human rights, and really, you know, trying to make a better lot for their people. Then on the other side, we see, you know, the Western-leaning nations, which obviously includes Australia and New Zealand, but also some of the big island states like Samoa, falling into line and wanting to discuss officially the things like those broader terms, tourism, fisheries, energy and education. And we've seen some pretty amazing kind of things coming out of each of those issues. But in general sense, what the public is getting is a watered down and a filtered kind of version of some of the main concerns that are occurring in the Pacific. If we peel away, you know, and look at, okay, you know, the smaller island states, many of them are, as countries, are almost living from a year-to-year basis and trying to sustain themselves, let alone progress. If we look at Kiribati, for example, we all know and we've been hearing a lot of reports relating to how Kiribati is actually trying to keep its head above the ocean waves out there in its atolls. We know that Tokelau, the small atolls of the Tokelau group, which is in what they call the realm of New Zealand, but about 300 nautical miles north of Apia and Samoa, and we know there that they are very susceptible, the people of those three atolls, to the surges that occur during cyclones in the Pacific that have become more severe in recent times. All of these big ticket items, thankfully, have been acknowledged by the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, and his commitment to those smaller island states, in a sense, is a real coup. And his commitment was that he went to Kiribati this week, early this week, after being in Australia and before coming to New Zealand, and said, "I am going to take your message to the General Assembly of the United Nations, and we will address the concerns that you people are having here because of the global climate change problem."
Do you think, he's going to take the message, that, do you think it'll make any difference, really?
Well, that's the challenge. You know, these types of things can, you know, does talk change things? It does change things when you've got persuasive argument causing policy changes around the globe. I think it's really important to realise too that when smaller island states actually realise that a person that is heading the world's largest international body says, "Yep, your plight is important to us," then that has some sort of positive effect in that island too, that we are being heard. That is the first step. Whether or not there's going to be change, it takes an awful lot to stop climate change, doesn't it? But what it does do is it raises up, these are the problems, these are the consequences of climate change. For these people, what are we going to do if it continues to get worse, if their atolls actually do become submerged? Are we going to change the law internationally to recognise climate change refugees as a definition of refugee status, which the world does not acknowledge at this stage? So there are all sorts of things that can kind of come from this. The other thing too is human rights through the Pacific. Having the UN Secretary General down here for this particular forum has brought out all of these issues relating to human rights. In the first instance, the human rights of women in the Pacific, many are getting a bad lot, and that has been well recorded and well reported here in New Zealand at the beginnings of this forum. The other thing is the plight of children. This ironically came in an acknowledgement from Julia Gillard, the Australian Prime Minister, and John Key, New Zealand Prime Minister, when they announced earlier this week that there was around about 1 million kids in the Pacific that do not and cannot get to school.
It's incredible.
And their answer it's a very good package. And that is, the aim is to ensure 500,000 more kids in the Pacific are enrolled in school by, you know, and that can read basically yeah. by the age of 10. And they want that to be achieved by 2021. So,
Have they given any idea of how they're going to go about doing this?
Well, they've got a few programs that are being knitted in there, and they're throwing around about 330 million New Zealand dollars jointly toward trying to establish these programs. Those kind of things have got to be applauded, you know, because they are human rights issues, aren't they?
Yeah,
on the energy thing, you know, what we will be told is how Australia and New Zealand and the Pacific Island states, this is what will come out at the end of this leaders' summit that's on Waiheke Island at the moment.
Yeah.
When that all finishes, you know, it'll be this, yes, you know, we support the idea of developing renewable, sustainable energy in the Pacific Island region so that the Pacific Island states can actually progress and blah, blah, blah. But what we won't hear much about, John, will be, you know, is Tonga, for example, going to abandon its pursuit of having new nuclear technologies there to generate power?
Yeah.
We talked about that a wee while ago, I think, with Michaela, I think, on your program. Now, you know, all of these issues, but they are there on the table. But what has been discussed behind the scenes, we will not know. But some of these things for the Pacific Island states, just to round up on that, for the smaller Pacific Island states, there's real progress and evidence from this forum.
Well, that's good. I mean, at least it shows that the forum may indeed have some teeth, and it's not just a bunch of a jolly, as I've heard it referred to this week. Now, you mentioned when I spoke to you earlier issues in Papua. What's the deal there?
Yes, in West Papua, what's been happening there is, every Pacific Island Forum, the Leaders Summit that is held once a year in different places around the Pacific, every year West Papua has tried to actually get some sort of an official nod from those leaders of the Pacific to say, yep, we'll give you official observer status. And that's the first step toward, you know, recognising that a nation is actually starting to form itself into or possess a sense of nationhood. Now, but the problem for West Papua's people, and they have a delegation in New Zealand asking for observer status right now, their problem is that they are occupied and controlled by Indonesia. And Indonesia's diplomatic associations and security kind of deals with the Australian government in the first instance, but New Zealand by proxy, is such that New Zealand and Australia, that really controls much of the forum's business, refuses to allow West Papua's people to actually inch toward a sense of having a nation. And that is a main problem. What it means in human terms is that the plight of the West Papuan people that goes back decades now, where they have been murdered and imprisoned for life and in some places put to death merely for raising their own flag. That's something obviously that they want to stop. They do not want Indonesia to be controlling their country in such a way anymore.
Yeah.
The problem for them again is that there is mineral wealth in West Papua that Indonesia exploits, and that the West, by the United States, Freeport Mine, for example, the control of Freeport Mine by the United States and Indonesia allowing that, is one of the things that obviously blocks the Western nations from going soft on this, as some would say, in allowing West Papua to advance its cause.
Why do you suppose? I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I've never heard of that before. I mean, I've heard of Papua, but I've not heard of, you know, this situation where if they raise their flag, they can, you know, they're subject to all of this oppression. Now, why do you suppose that's underreported? Is it underreported? It sounds.
It is underreported, but it's been getting a lot more reports since the advance of independent media. So if listeners are unsure on what's happening in West Papua, they can simply go to Google, put in West Papua, put in atrocities if they want, and they'll see lists coming back there of solid reports of what has been going on. Media are not allowed to get into that country, but occasionally people do. There's a really good documentary coming up that's going to screen again in New Zealand cinemas that people could keep an eye out for, and it's Strange Birds in Paradise, it's called.
Yeah.
And that was an undercover journalist endeavour where they went into West Papua as tourists but actually did a documentary on what they saw. Only last year there was a big news item where somebody at a scene of a killing and a torture took cell phone video footage of Indonesian soldiers torturing West Papuan individual, even burning his genitals with hot sticks, for goodness sake, and before they killed him. That got out to media, and that obviously caused quite a lot of concerns. But these killings have been going on for many, many years now.
Yeah.
And in a sense, it is the East Timor of today that is continuing to go on and on and on and on our patch and in our time, and that is a concern. The biggest concern is that no prime minister to date in the Pacific Island Forum, apart from Vanuatu's attempt last year, has stood up and said these people need the protection of our region and they need it now.
Yeah, and why do you reckon Vanuatu was the only nation that stood up? What made the issue so important for them that other nations never picked up on?
Because they're basically in the Melanesian group,
right.
And West Papua on that side of Papua is considered to be culturally Melanesian,
right.
And that's where the breakthrough occurred there. But they were blocked from, Vanuatu was hosting the forum last year, and it was blocked by the other leaders from being able to even discuss it at the formal leaders summit.
So maybe last year actually was a jolly, because that's a really important issue, and it's just mental. I can't believe that humans in 2011 might burn another's genitals. It's just... Look, let's move to something a bit lighter, and because I know you wanted to talk about the elephant in the country, or the elephant in the room, which is because we've had some text here saying, oh, it's so refreshing that you're not covering the World Cup, and isn't it great that you don't do sport? Well, I'm sorry, texters, we're going to touch on it for about 2 or 3 minutes, because, well, it's the biggest event that this country's had for some time. So,
And I guess we've been highly critical in the past in some of the conversations we've had, on air and things like that relating to World Cup and all of that kind of thing. But the biggest thing I thought that was very cool in the last week is realising just how many Tongans are living in Auckland.
When you see
the Tongans actually putting their flags on their cars and zooming around the motorways and all over the city and in the suburbs. There's a lot of national pride in that game, and I just thought, John, it was really right to just acknowledge, that kind of support coming from people for a team that's considered an extreme underdog for Friday's game against the All Blacks.
Yeah, I was musing the other day that if a European person had have landed at the airport on the day that all the Tongan people were up there, they would have thought, how come there's so many Swiss people here?
Yeah, true. Yeah, different colour kind of thing. It's red and white, but it's still got a cross in it.
Yeah.
I was on one of the Australian radio stations this morning, and I don't know much about the rugby rules and things like that, but I was thinking, I wonder if the Tongan group, they're such big boys, as the host person in the Australian station said, I wonder if they all got into a scrum, 15 guys kind of standing there all in a scrum, held the ball and just walked it to the try line. Each time they got it, just formed into this great big posse and walked over the line. I mean, that would be quite a cool thing to see.
It would be like the old Super Sidekicks video games. Remember that one? You could just, there was a trick, if you ran it down the wing and then crossed it, you could always score and beat Brazil 11-0 once. It was great. So, I actually went down to the viaduct yesterday, and what a fantastic atmosphere. And I'm a football kid, I have my England football top on, but what a fantastic atmosphere. And at the end of the day, if sport can bring people together, well, I don't see there's any problem with that. I think it's great, and I'm not a massive rugby supporter, but I am looking forward to this Rugby World Cup, and I'm well behind it, and go with the All Blacks.
And just on a challenging point of view, I suppose, if there are a whole lot of tickets that are still able to be flicked out there and the games are coming up and no one's going to be buying them, then the rugby union and the the International Rugby Board or the Rugby World Cup people, why don't they just go and give them to a whole lot of kids to get in there and actually watch the game? That'd be a cool thing.
That would
to see.
Be lovely, yeah. Well, look, this time next week when I speak to you, the Rugby World Cup will be in full fling and hopefully France will be out. Only joking, French people. Bonjour. all right, well, Selwyn, thanks for your lovely insight again. I always enjoy our chat, as I always say, and have a fantastic week, my friend.
Okay, John, you
all right, see you later. See you later, mate. Bye.
Bye.